broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound, no longer bound. You call me out of the grave, you call me into the light. Awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. I feel the darkness shaking. All the dead are coming back to life. Come back to life. Song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. You call me out of the grave, you call me into the light. You call my name and then my heart came alive. Your love is greater, your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. What a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. What a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. And what a love we found. Death can't hold us down. We shout it out, we're alive, 'cause you're alive.
Your love.
Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens. Awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love awakens. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's great to see you guys in person, and thanks for joining us online as well. This morning, I wanted to read Ephesians 5:19, and it's Paul talking to the church, and he says, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord with all your hearts. And I love that because he's talking about worship. Singing. Always be singing, he says. Always be reminding yourself of the goodness of God, who he is and who you are in him. And we do that a lot in worship. So let's put our hearts on the Lord this morning and worship together.
I raise a
stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working, you never stop working.
Let's pray together. When we think of who you are, when we think of what you do in us and through us, we understand the revelation of yourself. You have not kept yourself hidden or silent. You're not a far-off God, but you're a very personal God. A God that comes alongside of us, a God who goes before us. A God who is a promise keeper and a miracle worker. We adore you for all of who you are. As we lift our voices in praise, we realize that we do fall short of your glorious ideal. That in this past week, while mind what we've seen, what we think, Lord, it's not all been to your glory. It's not all thoughts and words and actions that bring glory to you. And we confess that to you, Lord, that we've fallen short of what you would call us to, what we're enabled to step out and do and say and be. We are thankful for all that you are doing. I'm thankful, Lord, for those volunteering, coming alongside in this church. Small stories, numerous stories, even some big stories about how in the name of Jesus Christ people have shown up and stepped out and helped out. Lord, for each gift that you give us, help us to receive it, celebrate it, and share it with those around us. And as we've come, Lord, there's a lot upon our mind, heart, and soul. You know what worries us, what stresses us out, what causes us a certain amount of fear as we look forward, as we begin to move out more and more in this COVID time. You know what's going on at home. You know what's going on at work. You know our concern for particular people and certain circumstances and settings in our life. We offer them to you, Lord, that you would make a way for us in that. We're seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And we know because you're a great and gracious God that all the things that we need, you'll bring to us. You promised that in giving us eternity. Jesus, thank you for your work upon the cross for each one of us, for me. Our desire is to lift you up in worship, and as we lift you up, Lord, lift us up as well. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So give everybody a wave around you. Let's also thank the worship leaders. Hey, thank you. I do have a few announcements for us before Dave Dombrowski comes and reads our scripture. One of the things that we're doing is offering to be an internet cafe and a tutoring center for children. Parents with kids in a tutoring club, well, that tutoring club is asking for some help. They need somebody that knows enough about math that they can sit with a kindergartner through fifth grader and help them with their math. There's a couple of kids in there that are needing help. That's on Tuesdays from 1 to 3. And if you're willing to help out, just send an email to the office or give us a call and let us know you'd like to help out. I also want you to know that we still have room in our present facility on Sunday mornings. If you're watching this on live stream and you've been waiting and wanting to know whether we have room for you, yes, we're open. And we do have room for you in all three services. We also have room for folks in our small groups, our Bible studies, the ministries that are taking place during the week. So if you'd like to be a part of a service team, part of a Bible study, part of a small group, just let us know and we will usher you right into what you're looking for in terms of making an impact, being known, and getting to know others. Dave is going to come and read our scripture passage this morning. And as he does, let me remind you of this. At 3 o'clock today, from 3 to 4 o'clock, we're having a hymn sing. We have plenty of hymns. They were all sent to us in the last week or so. And we've got a nice long list. So for an hour, all we're going to do over in the sanctuary is sing hymns. So be there. Dave?
All right. This is Romans chapter 6, verses 9 to 14 in the New Living Translation. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace.
Thank you, Dave. So we're talking about deep faith. I think we need deep faith today in our world, in our places of work, in our relationships with other people, as we interface with those in our community. We need deep faith now because things are deep. There's conflict. There's angst. There's concern. There's stress and worry. And it seems that as we move forward in life, that's not getting any easier this week. In fact, I think this week it got a little harder. We need a deep faith, and deep faith is a part of a deep commitment. If you look in history at the great change that people have brought, individuals have brought, you'll notice one thing about most of the people who are great. They are ordinary people who have made an extraordinary commitment, a deep commitment, to a cause that is larger than they are. That kind of a commitment is a commitment as we move forward, a commitment to God, but also a commitment to one another. Now, I know that some people are adverse to commitment. They don't like to commit because, well, their image of life is it's like a buffet. It's something you'll never see again, perhaps. People don't put anything on their plate because they don't want to commit to that because there might be something better down the way. And what happens is we get to the end and we have nothing on our plate. There isn't anything extraordinary that we've been a part of. I believe the gospel is a cause worth committing to. And yes, there's a lot of options out there. I think gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Well, I believe that's where the real sustenance for life is found. That's what we share together in our commitment. Commitment underlines the scripture for today. Let's Romans 6:13. Give yourselves completely to God. Every part of you, for you have been brought back to life, and you want to be a tool in the hands of God, don't you? You are a tool in the hands of God used for His good purposes. God has a good purpose for us to commit to be a part of. Yes. We're all ordinary people, but we worship an extraordinary God. And what He is doing on our planet, what He is doing in our church, what He's doing in and through each one of us, that's a cause we should be committed to, deeply committed to. And as we are, God does amazing things, awesome things, miraculous things. Romans 12:1. Since God has shown us His great mercy, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. Your offering must be only for God and to please Him, which is the spiritual way that you worship Him. Worship isn't just part of what we do, it is the core of what we do. And real worship is about offering ourselves, giving ourselves, asking God to use us, letting Him grab a hold of us and use us to make a big positive difference, a good work, a better work. An awesome work. Commitment, I think, as a Christian, a deep commitment to Christ and to the expansion and enrichment of his kingdom is first and foremost about uniting together in worship. Worship is the place where we are renewed and is a place to lift us up and give us joy. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will joyfully mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. God wants to renew us as we gather together, as we worship and pray, sing, hear God's word, meditate on that and allow it to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. This is where we find a strength that goes beyond any human strength, any human goodness. In worship, we understand that God is divine, and he allows us as his children a divine experience, an experience that lifts us up, an experience that causes us to rejoice. I agree with David. David said, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Well, what happened the last time you invited someone to worship? Now, today, that's a challenging thing to do. But we invite people to worship because it's a joyful experience. I'm like you, I've been in a few churches. I'm not sure they know Jesus resurrected there. That he's not dead, he's alive. That we don't have to be weighed down all the time by the difficulties and the challenges of life. That here in worship we realize that we're freed up. We are like eagles. And we can run and we can walk. And we have a strength that goes beyond ourselves. A strength, a power. We begin to feel it here. We begin to experience it here. It's here where we hear about what God is doing. And so I say it should be a celebration. Hopefully, as you invite people to get online and watch what's happening and be a part of that, you invite someone to come and be with you here in worship. Our goal is that it's a celebration for Jesus Christ, a party for his whole family. And we need to be united in worship. We need that uniting because we need that strength. We need that uniting, that commitment. Because as we face the difficulties and the challenges of life, we need to rejoice. We need to be renewed, filled up again so that we can go pour ourselves out as we live out the other 6 days of the week, so that we might come here again and get filled up, get encouraged, be able to say to one another, "No, you're going to make it. You can do it." Second thing we need to do is we need to connect to one another in fellowship. We are like various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from Christ's body as a whole, not the other way around. Each of us find our meaning and our function as a part of his body. Meaning and function. What's your purpose in life? I believe that as you come to Christ, you become a part of his family. You take your place on his team, and he has something divine for you to do. He has something for you to do that matters because it's eternal. It's not just temporal. We're all trying to find our place. We're all trying to build relationships with other people. We all want to move forward in life. We want to make a difference. And for us to know our divine path that God is calling us to, we discover that in relationship with one another. Here's an interesting fact. There are 30 directives, instructions in the New Testament that you cannot fulfill on your own. They can only be fulfilled when we're in relationship with one another. Why? Because we are like a body. Some of us are hands. Some of us are eyes. Some of us are feet. We need all parts of the body together. And so you coming and being a part of what God is doing, it is both your opportunity to step into your place, be the part of the body of Christ that you are, but also gather together, connect with one another so that we might be a whole body, able to make even a greater impact. And that's an impact in relationships, an impact on the settings and circumstances in life that we find ourselves in, that we're a part of. We find our divine purpose as we connect with other Christians on a regular basis. That's why small groups are so important. That's why being a part of a service team is crucial. You have something to add into the whole, and without you, we have a missing spot, a missing piece. And our goal in leadership is to put everyone in their place, so to speak. And then as we rally and we gather together, we make a difference. We make a difference together that we could never make alone, all by ourselves. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. That's why communion is so important. We are bought by Christ and brought together in Christ. Yes, it is about asking Jesus to be the leader of our life, but it's also about being a part of his family. And yes, he's custom made a path and a way just for you. And we discover what that path is, our way of moving and contributing, making a difference. We discover that in our relationship with one another. And it is with one another that we have an opportunity to both grow and develop in our faith. Christ's body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. We grow best in here. As we gather together, we develop and we grow, and that makes a difference in us so that as we go out, we can do more and we can do better. Life is not still and stagnant. Our path may be difficult and challenging, but as we develop and as we grow, we find ourselves in a better able to do what God calls us to do. We have this sense that as we go, we don't go alone. In fact, one of the great joys of being in leadership is to watch other people grow and develop in their faith. Learning more about God, learning more about their contribution. Learning more about God's great commission that He's calling us to. So if you feel like you're not growing or not developing, I'd encourage you, get in a small group, get in a Bible study. I would invite you to be on a service team. We need to be united in worship. We need to be connected in fellowship. We also need to serve one another. One of the greatest expressions of our faith is in serving one another. And it's really as we serve that we understand the significant difference we make. You make a significant difference in the lives of other people. And we know that our significance is not about our salary, and it's not about our status. Our money and our status doesn't really do an adequate job of defining and describing who we are in Christ Jesus. Who we are in Christ Jesus are servants of Jesus. We are to serve one another. And as we serve, as we be the part of the body of Christ that He's shaped us to be and He's called us to be, well, that's where we make a huge, powerful impact. It's there that we understand our real significance. Because what marks us as Christians is eternity. And our significance is found in doing our part, adding in to the body of Christ so that we can go close and go far away. Make an impact once, make a lifetime impact. Each of you have received a gift to serve others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. God has graced you with a certain shape for ministry. You have a spiritual gift or two, maybe three. God's given you a certain heart passion in this world. In addition to your spiritual gifts, you have some abilities and talents. Your personality is perfectly shaped for what it is that God is calling you to do. And then there's all the experiences that we've had in life, even the difficult ones. Isn't it great to know that God doesn't waste one thing that happens in your life? He uses all of it as He shapes us and calls us to ministry. As we have the opportunity to serve one another. Again, serve those that are close and serve those that are far away. It might be a single impact that you have, but it might be multiplied by what God is doing. Our role is to show up and be committed. And as we're committed to serving other people, God leads us where He wants us to go. He enables us through the Holy Spirit to hear His call. To hear His call. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, notice Solomon is giving us a few insights about what happens when we work together. When we work together, we maximize our impact. We minimize our failure, and we realize that as we pool our resources together, more and more is accomplished and achieved. You know this, two people are always better than one because they get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help them up. But it is bad for the person who is alone and falls, because no one is there to help. If two lie down together, they can share the same blanket and stay warm. But a person alone will not be warm. An enemy might defeat one person, but two people together can defend themselves. A rope that is woven of three strands is hard to break. We're here to help one another. We're here to make sure that nobody feels all alone and people are feeling isolated and lonely. And we're doing our very best at connecting with people and including people. We know that there's plenty to do and, well, more hands make light work of heavy things. That three-strand cord, you, another person, and the Holy Spirit, that is a powerful team. Don't forget to put the Holy Spirit in the equation of your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you to serve and encourage and help those around you. And as we serve other people, the greatest opportunity is the service of living and sharing the good news of the gospel with other people. Remember the Great Commission? Go and make disciples of all nations. And so we start across the street and then we make a way to the other side of the world. Listen to what Paul writes. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we get into relationship with Jesus Christ, we now have our story to share with those around us. It's true that sometimes in our service, we do a lot and we don't necessarily say a lot. But as we pray, God gives us the right words to say, the encouraging words, the leading words, the eternal words that people need to hear and want to hear. Because that kind of eternal service always makes a difference. We can make a difference in someone else's life spiritually because Jesus has made a difference in our life. He is the one that has sacrificed for us. He gave his life so that we could have life. It's true, he didn't come to condemn us. He came to serve us. And as Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, as he is the leader of our life, we, with deep commitment, seek to live out our life. Make progress and knowing him and sharing him with those around us. We know Jesus because Jesus gave his life for us, for me, for you. And he becomes the rallying point for all eternity. That night when he was with the disciples, he gave thanks and then he broke the bread. And as he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body that I willingly break for you." And then he took the cup. And as he offered the cup to those at the table, he said, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." What we're reminded about in the Lord's Supper is that God has already made a deep commitment to us. A deep commitment so that we can deepen our commitment. Let's pray together. Jesus, we're thankful that you have revealed yourself to us, given us the opportunity to ask you to be the leader of our life. And as you have done that, you have equipped us. You have brought us into the table as one of your disciples. And you are developing us and you're enabling us to grow so that we can once again be sent out. So that we can know the truth of that gospel, that good news, and we might share that good news with others. Jesus, thank you for calling us to yourself, calling us to serve, to be in fellowship with one another, and to gather united to worship you. Jesus, thank you for being the God that you are. Continue to work in us and through us, we pray. Amen.
I think I'm doing. I'm working on that. That Claire out there.
Thanks again for being with us this morning. It was great to see you all. We hope you guys have a great Sunday. And we need each other. So, love each other today. Lean on each other today. Bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.